It's Friday, the 10th of July. The week has been loud with model launches, one after another, and this morning the noise finally resolves into something clearer, a single question that the biggest labs all seem to be answering at once, each in its own way. I want to walk you through four moves that, set next to each other, tell you a lot about where this is heading. No need to rush this one. Let me get into them. First up, Meta. Meta Superintelligence Labs released Muse Spark 1.1, a multimodal reasoning model built for agentic work and a real step up from the first Muse Spark. But the headline isn't the model, it's how you get it. Meta launched a public preview of a new Meta Model API, an application programming interface that is, for the first time, a way to buy access to a Meta Model. For a company that spent years defining itself around open weights, selling metered access is a genuine reversal. The model is live now, in a thinking mode, inside the Meta AI app and on its website. On what it actually does, Muse Spark 1.1 manages a context window of a million tokens, and it manages it actively, holding on to earlier actions, reaching back to retrieve information from much earlier in a task, and compacting things down so the steps that matter survive. It generalizes zero-shot to new tools, to model context protocol servers, and to custom skills it hasn't seen, and it's trained to run multi-agent systems. As the lead agent, it plans and hands work out to sub-agents running in parallel. As a sub-agent, it stays in its lane and knows when to escalate. For computer use, it decides when to automate and when to just click. Writing a script when that's faster, clicking when that's simpler, and emitting whole batches of actions at a step instead of grinding through one at a time. On coding, it posts big gains on large code bases, and on Meta's internal coding benchmark, it beats the older Muse Spark and lands, in Meta's words, competitive with the leading alternatives. Its multimodal side is real too. It can turn a picture into working code, and in one demo, it builds a marketplace listing straight from a phone video. Meta says it ran the model through its advanced AI scaling framework, the chemical, biological, cyber, and loss of control checks, and reports it inside safe margins with strong resistance to jailbreaks and prompt injection. And the new interface is OpenAI compatible, so a developer can point existing code at it with almost no friction. Here's the part I'd underline. The information reports that Meta intends to spend heavily to subsidize usage of this model, to buy its way into developers' workflows. It arrives one day after SpaceX AI's Grok 4.5, and the same week OpenAI shipped GPT 5.6. Early partners like Replit, Klein, and Box are already vouching for it, so this is Meta paying to turn its model into a platform. That brings me to the second story, which is OpenAI answering the same question from the opposite corner. OpenAI unveiled ChatGPT Work, an agent that takes action across your apps and your files, that will stay with a project for hours if it needs to. And that turns a goal into finished output. It reaches into corporate data to build spreadsheets and presentations, and it'll do heavier lifting too, like updating financial forecasts. The information describes it plainly as a competitor to Anthropic's Claude Cowork and as a step toward a desktop super app, one place that gathers up all of OpenAI's business-facing agentic features. And on the very same day, OpenAI announced it's shutting down Atlas, its dedicated AI browser, less than a year after launching it. It isn't walking away from agentic browsing. It's moving those features into the desktop app and a Chrome extension. Read those two moves together, and the message is that the persistent agent, not a standalone browser, is where OpenAI thinks autonomous web actions belong. There was one more beat here as well. The information reported that Cursor is building its own general-purpose agent to go after Claude Cowork, work that started after Cursor began leasing compute from SpaceX's AI unit. And it comes ahead of SpaceX's planned $60 billion acquisition of Cursor. Three companies in one day, converging on the exact same product shape. A general agent that lives on your desktop, holds a task for hours, and reaches into your real tools. Third, Anthropic, which spent the day working the same problem from the angle of trust rather than product. Anthropic, a public benefit corporation, opened what it's calling a hard questions initiative. It's inviting the public to send in their hardest questions about AI, about jobs, about families, about science and medicine and safety. And it's committing to publicly track and report the specific things it does in response, including the places where it falls short of its own goals. And this isn't starting from nothing. Anthropic says it has already surveyed 52,000 Americans about their hopes and concerns, run a separate survey of 81,000 Claude users across 159 countries and 70 languages, and held dozens of in-person focus groups. The governance machinery moved the same day. Anthropic's long-term benefit trust, the body that appoints board members, named the former Federal Reserve Chair Ben Bernanke as its fourth member, filling a key seat, with one of five still open. Bringing a former central banker onto the trust that oversees the public benefit mission is a notable signal about how Anthropic wants that oversight to be read. Anthropic also shipped a Reflect dashboard that lets you visualize how you actually use Claude, though TechCrunch made the sharp point that a tool showing you how much you lean on the assistant also, quietly, reinforces how much you lean on it. And separately, Anthropic restated that Claude is not permitted in China, pushing back on Beijing's recent warning about a supposed backdoor in Claude code. Taken together, public benefit framing, outside oversight, transparency about usage, and firm lines on where the models are allowed to go. For the fourth and final story, I want to step away from the frontier lab jostling, because Google spent Thursday showing what this same foundation model playbook looks like pointed at your body. Google introduced a wearable health foundation model it's calling Sensor FM. They pre-trained it on more than 1 trillion minutes of sensor data from 5 million people, using a masked reconstruction objective that's built to tolerate the gaps and dropouts real wearable data is full of. And by scaling the model and the data together, they get a general purpose representation of human physiology, one that keeps improving with scale, with no sign yet of leveling off. The evaluation is where it gets convincing. They tested it across 35 health prediction tasks, drawn from three separate institutional review board approved studies with nearly 14,000 participants spanning cardiovascular health, metabolic risk, mental health, sleep, and more. When they froze the model and trained only a thin linear layer on top, those embeddings beat a hand-engineered, fully supervised baseline on 34 of the 35 tasks. No task-specific architecture at all. Adding age and sex barely helped, and helped less as the model grew, which tells you the big model is already learning your physiology on its own. It was strongest exactly where signal is faintest and most individual: depression and anxiety. And then Google did something clever with the last mile. Instead of hand-building a predictor for each task, they set loose a classroom of language model agents that collaborate and compete to write, test, and refine the code for those predictors, searching more than 30,000 candidate solutions. The agent-designed heads beat a plain linear probe on 16 of 20 classification tasks and 12 of 15 regression tasks, and got better as the underlying model got better. This is research, not a cleared medical device, but the direction is clear. One generalist model of physiology in place of 100 bespoke ones. So what were these four really about? Look at them together and the model itself has almost receded into the background. Meta's news wasn't a model. It was an API to sell one. OpenAI's wasn't a model. It was an agent to put one to work, and a browser retired to make room. Anthropic's was a trust seat and a public record, the scaffolding of legitimacy around the model. And Google's was a foundation model that mostly matters as a new interface, this time to your own heartbeat and sleep. The frontier model is becoming table stakes. The contest that's actually playing out is over what you wrap around it. The access, the agent, the accountability, the interface. If you want the rest of the day, the defense contracts, the funding rounds, a good stack of fresh papers on video reasoning and interpretability, it's all in the full digest. That's where I'll leave it this morning. I'll be back tomorrow, and if today was any guide, The thing to watch won't be the next model so much as what gets built around it. Until then, be good to yourself.